Man, I'm so thankful to be here this morning, and I am actually really fired up. I couldn't even sleep last night. So before I start preaching, let me just preface this, because I want to give glory to God and His faithfulness. Wednesday night, usually I get a week to prepare for a message, and Wednesday night, Joe turned around at the men's ministry and said, "Hey, bro, you want to preach on Sunday?" And me being a preacher, I think, you know, any preacher worth his salt doesn't say no to an opportunity to preach the word. Amen. So I'm like, yes, I want to preach. Of course I want to preach. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Wednesday night. I won't start till Thursday, Friday, Saturday. What? Okay. Well, you know what? God didn't just give me a message for you guys today in 3 days. God changed my life. I'll never be the same. I'll never, ever be the same God that I was 3 days ago than I am now. I will never be the same. And in the name of Jesus, see, you guys didn't just come to church today. You guys came and you're going to get changed forever in Jesus' name. Because this is gold. God has given us gold today. Amen? The power of gratefulness is the title of this message. Because, and I want to talk about this, and it's very relevant in this time that we're going through, in this season that we're going through. Gratefulness is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. And it's actually the part of doing life with God that is our responsibility. I think a lot of us think it's a feeling and we're waiting for it to come on us, or something good happens to us that we can be grateful for. But gratefulness is a choice. Let me start off this sermon by you know, because what does that look like? Maybe you're like, well, Pastor Chris, I hear you, but I really don't know how to, like, get in that. Like, how do you get to the throne room of God? Because the word of God says that we can boldly go into the throne room of God. How, Pastor Chris, I haven't really felt God. How do I get there? Well, the psalmist in Psalm 100 shows you how to get there. So if you ever need to get there, you don't feel like you're going to get there, go read Psalm 100. Say it out loud. Say it to God with a grateful heart, because that'll be your choice. Verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. This is a perfect way to get our hearts right. It's funny, because just a couple simple words and really short sentences that just list some of God's character is a great way to worship. What happens to the heart before thanksgiving is expressed? Gratefulness. Gratefulness comes before thanksgiving. Why? Because gratefulness has to do with belonging. Belonging is our full appreciation of something undeserved. When we belong, when we feel accepted, man, it is a place where we are grateful. We feel like we are ourselves. We are fully present, fully aware. The hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables us to count our blessings. Gratefulness, like I said, is full awareness. Thankfulness is thoughtfulness. A gratuitous life will prosper much in the things that you do not see, like feelings. Faith, while having a major positive effect on the things that you can see. So I had plans to just you know, create this sermon of gratefulness and this really feel-good sermon that would all pat us on the butt and fire us up and get us going and walking out of this church going, "Woo, Jesus!" And I am. I still am. But I love God because He shifted me and showed me that first He needs to warn us. Because there's a couple things that we do that hinder us. So I want to warn you about unforgiveness. I want to warn you about when we as Christians, followers of Christ, or did I say unforgiveness? Ungratefulness. Excuse me. Ungratefulness is something that we struggle with, and God is going to set us free today. So let's get started. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5 says this. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron, who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by the means of the word of God and prayer. You see, Paul's writing this letter to Timothy. Well, before I get started, let me just point something out. No. So Paul's writing to Timothy, and Timothy's a pastor in Ephesus, okay? And Ephesus is a lot like Vegas back then, okay? Ephesus was a bustling town, and they had this temple, like the Temple of Artemis, where a bunch of prostitutes were there. And it was their culture. It was like, that was just the way they did things. They would go to the temple. They would sleep with the prostitutes. And they believed that they were honoring God. And they would be blessed when they did it. That was the way their culture ran. So now that this church has been birthed in Ephesus. And Timothy's this pastor. Paul has already gone through here. Wrote in letters to them. See, people are getting saved in Ephesus. But there's people in Ephesus that said that they were following Jesus, that were like, yeah, we're Christians too, but hey, why would you get married? The way we've always been doing it is just go to the temple and sleep with the prostitutes. So it's Jesus, yes, he's good, and the prostitutes. Jesus and the Temple of Artemis. Then they said, hey, but you got to abstain for certain foods because it's been our culture to call that dirty or unclean. We've done it for so long. So I understand what you say about Jesus, and but it's Jesus and. Let me tell you something. Anytime it's Jesus and, it's turned into the doctrines of demons. It's turned into the teachings of demons. I'm going to call it the doctrine of demons today. Anytime it's Jesus and, it's Jesus and Jesus alone. So these people, so Paul is just warning Timothy. But let's look at this because I love this. The first part of chapter 4, verse 1. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Father, explicitly says, meaning he explained it so well to Paul, there left no doubt in his mind. He explained it so well. But the Spirit explicitly says that in the later times, later than when he wrote his letter, that's now, some will fall away from the faith. Why? Because they're paying attention to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons. Now, let me just explain further what the teachings of demons is. Tim said earlier that the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God has said that. He's called it good. So when we are on our phones, or we're on our computers, or we're watching the news on TV, what is that causing in us? I don't know about you, but for the last 8 months, I feel like I've been going, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. It's been wrecking me. Guilty, guys. I told you, God changed my life. And He's going to change yours. You know what? When that happens, because what is that? That's telling me I need to be afraid. That's the doctrine of demons that I'm paying attention to. Now listen to me. God has called us to be watchers. We should be looking at what's going on around us. Why? Because we can feel needs. Because we're the light and the salt of the world. And we need to know what's going on. You know, I care about what happens. But I understand today that what I've been doing is, see, I've shifted from being so focused on God and my grateful heart towards Him. I've shifted, and now I'm paying attention to deceitful spirits. Can I get an amen? And the doctrines of demons. Be afraid. It's Jesus and your government. It's Jesus and who sits in the White House. It's Jesus and who runs the... Whatever you want to call that. Listen, again, it's okay to pay attention. But we need to take our shift off that. See, this is what Paul was warning of. Because he correlates these men that are seared in their conscience. No gratefulness towards God. They just say that, but they walk in the doctrine of demons. He warns, and he directly correlates ungratefulness with it. Because he said that the things that God has created are to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. That's me and you. I believe Jesus. I know the truth. So I'm to gratefully share in everything that God says good. For everything that God created is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified, meaning set apart to God, and with the word of God and prayer. It meets all that criteria. So I can't rob a bank, come up and go, "Woo, thank you, Jesus." I can't steal Jimmy's wallet and go, "Man, God is good." You see what I mean? It has to line up with the word. It has to be able to be, whatever it is, we sanctify it. We set it apart. We say, "God, I sanctify me first and foremost, and I set it apart to you. But I take this situation. I take my marriage. I take what I'm struggling with, and I sanctify it. Meaning, I give it to you, God." And through prayer and me studying your word, goodness will come from that. So he warns. He warns about the ungrateful heart. An ungrateful follower of Christ is being demonically influenced in their thinking. Being ungrateful can literally be the reason you fall away from Christ. And let me just say something. And I mean this with love. But Joe and I see a bunch of new faces in this church all the time. And so many, like, originals are gone in the last just 10 months, since March. And I say this with love, everybody that's watching online. We have to step back, and I understand things can be scary. People have pre-existing conditions, but I know that I know that I know that the demonic doctrine, the fear is being pumped into us constantly. The lack, you don't have enough to get through this, is constantly being, you're out of control. There's no way you can stop what's coming. That's true. But when I'm grateful to God, baby, I go, you know what? Woo! Jesus. First of all, my God delivers. And I believe you're going to deliver us, God. Not a shadow of a doubt. And I'm grateful for that. But you know what? I'm so grateful for your presence in my life. Jesus, you died and you gave everybody everything they need to walk through whatever comes our way. So although the world may go to hell, God, I'll be so lit on fire for you, Jesus, that I'll catch everybody else on fire because the light drives the darkness away. Come on, try to get me, devil. Try to get me. We beat him back. We beat them back by being grateful to God. Grateful for what you have. Grateful, and everybody's got something to be grateful for. It's when we start believing the doctrines of demons and deceitful spirits and get our eyes off of Jesus and our eyes on the world. We start beginning to get afraid and angry. Yeah, I told you I had gold today for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, and listen. Listen, I understand that people go through things. And you know, there's tragedy. There really is some scary stuff that happens. So I'm not up here pretending like I'm not going to get scared again. Or I'm not going to get mad again. Or I'm not going to get hurt again. Listen to me. You are so allowed to process your situations, your feelings. If you need to grieve, you grieve. But I'm telling you this, as soon as you can, as soon as you can lift your head and say, God, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. As soon as you can do that, oh, the healing will begin. Because you're beating back what was meant to kill and destroy you. You are beating it back. Why? Because the love of God, the gratefulness of Him, His power. Look, He's either in control or He's not. He's either God Almighty that everything passes through, including the devil and the children of darkness who do His work. Everything must pass through His hand. That's why we can watch, but don't pay so much attention that you lose sight of the truth. Hallelujah. You ever been around a Christian that just focuses on what they don't have? Complain about everything? It's like, wow. I want to introduce you to Jesus. You know what? They're just paying attention to deceitful spirits. They're just buying into the lie that, hey, you're lacking. You don't have enough to get what they have. You see Pastor Chris up there on fire. You don't have what it takes. That's a lie from the pit. You have everything. The same spirit that's in me is in you. And I got the same spirit that was in Jesus. So that means you got the same spirit that was in Jesus. That means we're all equal and we all have the right to step out of the natural and into the supernatural with our grateful hearts. And let me tell you something. I can promise you this. Whatever you got going on, you better check yourself in it. Have you just been complaining about your marriage? Have you just been complaining about your job? Have you just been complaining about, because you're believing the doctrine of demons. You should be like, you know what, God? I thank you that I have a marriage. It might be crazy. It might be awful at times, but, and I'm not, you know, I love you, Tracy, if you're watching this. But hey, I have prayed that prayer before. She knows it. She prayed the same prayer. God, I just thank you because you know what you're going to do? You're going to change me through this. So I thank you for this crazy marriage. I thank you for my job. I thank you that even when things go wrong, God, that you've got me, Lord. I might be set back in some time. It might feel like I'm taking steps back, but I know that I'm grateful for these steps back. I know you're going to do something great. I know that no matter what, you're in control because everything you say and you do is good. Hallelujah. So what's keeping you from enjoying the fullness? See, Paul was telling Timothy, don't let your congregation miss all they can have in Jesus. Because when we pay attention to the deceitful spirits and we're in the natural, we are missing out on living a life full of love. And man, I'm sold on this. And again, I'm not saying that I won't ever be mad or fearful, but man, I will never forget that I got a place to go. I will never forget that, you know what? Oh, Jonesy, ooh, you're getting a little bit, you almost flipped that person off on the freeway. God, I'm grateful I have a car. I'm grateful that there's gas in my car. I'm grateful I'm being able to breathe right now and talk to you, God. Because obviously the fact that I'm still here means I have work to do. So God, thank you for meeting and supplying my every need. If we get like that, I guarantee you, you'll turn a bad day good right then. You'll bring life to whatever you're praying. Because you're giving thanks. I thank you, God. Thanks for this trial. And listen, it'll be hard. Because your feelings aren't going to line up with it right away. You'll have to choose, God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what I have. And you just begin to worship him. That's a form of worship. Jesus, what you did for me on the cross, I could never repay. I thank you, Lord. And there's always something to be thankful for. And God doesn't make mistakes, you guys. Focus on what you do have and what you don't. The devil wants you to focus on what you don't have financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Focus on what you do have and give thanks to God for it. And watch what he does. The Lord adds too. The Lord multiplies. The Lord makes a way when there is no way. The Lord will open a door when nobody else could open it. And he'll close doors nobody else can close. The Lord will move in your life because he loves it when his kids are like, I'm so grateful, God. There's utter chaos going on in the world and I just love you. I'm so blessed. Nothing else matters. He loves that. Oh, let me use you. Because you can go out there and you can see somebody with a need, somebody that's lost, somebody that believed the doctrines of demons today and the deceitful spirits. Lift their head. Shake them awake. That's our job, church. That's our job because you know what? I don't know what the future holds. And this world, I mean, in Revelation, it ultimately does go to hell in a handbasket. I just don't know if it's now or if it's going to be in 1,000 years. I don't know. But what I do know is if the world starts going to hell in a handbasket, man, he's calling his church to praise, to rise up, lift our voices and go, God, you are God. We pay attention to what you say and you say is good. If you say that this is going down, then it must be good. Oh, listen, it must be good. There must be a plan. So God, help me get my heart right. Help me be a shining light. You called us the salt. You called us the light. Help us be that. Because church, even when God delivers, And we have a massive revival because we are. No matter what, that's what I do know. We're going to have revival. And even if I'm the only one on fire, I'm going to set you guys on fire. I'm going to set everybody on fire around me. And that's how it starts. And that's how it starts. But we are going to have revival. But that, it just, the circumstances don't matter. That's my point. Either way, God, we are so grateful because Jesus, you died. You died for us. We have an eternal destiny that no devil in hell, no man on earth can mess with. So, hallelujah, man. We ain't even afraid to die. We shouldn't be. If you're still afraid to die, you shouldn't be. It's the bestest place. In the arms of Jesus, whole. Not tripping on your body or whether you're fat, skinny. Not tripping on all this crazy thing right here. Oh, I can't wait to be with Jesus. But hey, I value life. I do. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm here because I want to serve God. I want to love people. I want to lift them up. And I can't do that if I'm crumbing on the natural. Amen? Amen. How are we doing? All right, cool. All right, so let's go to Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their reasonings, and in their senseless hearts, they were darkened. So see, it says, no matter what, see, God created us. So even the guys like, nope, God's not real. You know, those guys, they know God's real. They have no excuse. When they stand before God and they go, man, I mean, I just didn't see any evidence and you're real. He'll say, you're full of it, bro. Creation itself screams out my name. There is no doubt. If there's creation, there has to be a creator. You see, people just believe the doctrine of demons and they start worshiping the creation rather than the creator. They start worshiping the blessing rather than the blesser. You see what I mean? We need to get our eyes and our hearts back on the blesser. He's in control, guys. He's not tripping. He's stoked. He's got plans. So, let me read one more. Romans 1:24-25. Therefore, God gave them up to vile impurity in the lust of their hearts, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for falsehood and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They exchanged the truth for falsehood. So, we must be careful again. What has God said? What did God say about you? I think Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry. You will have trials. You will be persecuted. There will be stuff. Life's going to be hard sometimes, but you know what? Fear not, because I have overcome the world. He said that. He meant that. He said that so we would read that thousands of years later when our lives get rocked, so we could stand on that. So we could stand on his word and go, wow, Jesus, you said that I'm not to worry because you've overcome the world that I live in. but I am resurrected in your spirit, Jesus. That means I get all the inheritance you died to give me. That means I get to love like you. I get to speak like you. I get to forgive like you. I get to pray like you. When I get my heart right and I am grateful for our relationship, Jesus, you pour into me through your Holy Spirit and out comes the truth, not the lie. When I start complaining, look at them, I'm agreeing with the false teaching of the demons. I'm agreeing with that. I'm focusing on that. And I, that's the truth. We're going to do it. I'll probably do that again. I don't know. I probably will. I'm human. I'm a sinner. But I know that we can readjust. Now it's just about readjusting. That's why I know that this is gold. We won't do this perfect. So don't expect yourself to do it perfect. But keep it on your mind because it's a choice. And you have the power. Pray to God about it. Ask the Holy Spirit. Hey, remind me next time. Remind me next time, God, that I start complaining to switch that around and begin to praise you and be grateful for what I have, for what you've done, for your position in my life, for my position in yours. What a blessed relationship. Oh, man, I looked into the lights. Dang it. Spots. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Oh my goodness. And do not get drunk with wine. I'm going to sew us up now. Okay, I cut us open. Now I'm going to sew us up and give it a little kiss. Do not get drunk with wine, in which there is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God and Father. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, I think. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ. So it doesn't say to always give thanks unless somebody does you dirty. Then you can totally just flow with it and roll with that and be, you know, resentful. It doesn't say always giving thanks except for when that thing happens and it's too much for you to handle. It doesn't even say always give thanks except for when tragedy happens in your life. Again, I say this with absolute empathy. If you're going through tragedy right now, I love you and I'm sorry. But again, as soon as you can, you're allowed to grieve. You're allowed to grieve how you want, for as long as you want, but I'm your pastor. And I say that as soon as you can, sister or brother, pick your head up and give thanks to God, that healing will begin. You will begin to heal at an accelerated speed. God magnifies and multiplies, and he moves mountains, you guys. And I guess for he who has been forgiven much loves much. I mean, I call myself a scumbag saved by grace. I mean, I've been so bad that I am so thankful for Jesus. Like, I've been so dysfunctional in my head with relationships and even just, you know, making up stories so real in my head, and I just blame you for it. You didn't even do nothing. I mean, crazy stuff that God has delivered me from. He's healed me from. And the things that he hasn't, he's given me the power and the ability to sanctify it and give it to him. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. Continue to work in me. I don't want to look like the world. I want to look like you. I want to look like you, Jesus. And I'm grateful. You see, we change it. We become, you've never heard of a grateful victim. You can't be grateful and be a victim at the same time. So that's why I'm giving you an offensive position. No matter what happens, guys, that's the beautiful thing. It doesn't matter what happens. God is bigger. His word is true. See, God, yeah, God's full of forgiveness and grace, but he's also truth and justice. I mean, to the nth degree, he's the gnarliest truth and the gnarliest justice. And that is a straight, hard line. You can't veer to the right and to the left with the truth of God or his justice. And he will bring justice. Oh, yeah. That's why for us, look, God wishes none to perish. Even those children of darkness that are operating out of them, he would love for them to repent and be healed. They may or may not. And if they don't, well, their destination is clear. But we as the church, see, if I hate him or her, because I have, but if I do, if God opens up an opportunity, and if it's not even him or her, but it's him or her that, whatever. Yeah, just him or her. Then if God opens an opportunity for me to minister, and I'm coming in hot, I'm coming in with all my worldly views, I'm coming in with the doctrines of demons, then I miss that. Wouldn't you think that Jesus would be more impressed if I loved that person? If I said, hey man, yeah, you've been making really terrible decisions, totally against God's word. Yeah, I'd be scared too. But repent. Repent, turn from your sin, turn towards the Lord, and you shall be saved. If that one of those children of darkness gets saved, how rad is that? You see, because our destination's secure. We're secure in Jesus. We shouldn't be afraid of nothing. We really shouldn't. But we should be in a position of, and I know, and again, I know we will get afraid, okay? But when we do, we can be, we can go into that position, an offensive position as his kids, as children of Jesus Christ, that have a grateful heart towards the one who can make stuff happen. The one whose arm is not too short. God could reach into hell himself and pull out what he wants, if he wants. Nothing can stop him. And he has a plan. He told us. So I guess today I just want to lock in on really how blessed we are. How solid we are. Luke 17. Man, I got to quit looking at that light right there. Woo! Luke 17, 11 through 19. Thank you, brother. While he, and this is Jesus. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. While he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. As they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face and at his feet and giving thanks to him. He was a Samaritan. But Jesus responded and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. This is a powerful scripture right here. And it's a powerful scripture because it shows 10 men with leprosy. And leprosy is gnarly. It eats your skin and it's gross and and it hurts. It's a bad, bad disease. And notice that they stood at a distance. Was it 6 feet? Ah! Bink, bink. Yeah. But they stood, so 10 guys, and 9 of them were Jewish, right? The chosen ones. They should know who's healing them. And one Samaritan, one Gentile, just like us. All 10 had the faith in Jesus to be healed. Jesus didn't touch them. He spoke a word over them. He said, go. Go tell the priests. And on the way, they're walking. So they all had the faith to go, okay. And on the way, their skin starts changing. It says they were healed on the way. Baby skin, like oil of Olay ain't got nothing on the oil of gladness. And they begin to heal, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is so great, right on. Woo! And then one of them stops and goes, wait. Oh, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And what did Jesus say? First of all, he brought up the fact, like he noticed. He knew everything was going on, and he noticed. But then what does he say to him? Because this is the difference. See, Jesus healed all 10. Jesus is a healer. But one out of the 10, he said, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Meaning, you, sir, today have grabbed a hold of salvation. You understand the magnitude of salvation, because salvation just isn't a destination, you guys. Jesus saved me 2 nights ago. He saved me again. He saved me from paying attention to the doctrine of demons and missing out on the fullness of my life with Christ. He's saving you today, hearing this word spoken over your life, because you're receiving it in Jesus' name, in your heart, and you will change too. You are no longer going to be bound to the things that you see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One gave thanks. The one that was grateful understood the magnitude of the salvation of Christ. We have been saved. We have been saved from death, from sin, and from the devil, from hell, from an eternity apart from God. We have been saved. We're locked in. We're safe. We are safe. Now, to prosper in the Lord now that we know we're safe, we've got grateful hearts. We know that the safety and security. Now, I'm not saying bad stuff's not going to happen. Please don't misunderstand me. Life is life. There's going to be up and downs. There's going to be tragedy that hits us. There will be trials. Make no mistake. But if you give yourself to Christ, if you give all yourself, it's like the only thing that we can give Him is us. You don't have to be afraid. You will make it through. In fact, you will not see how this situation is good. And I'm not even going to say that you're going to call that situation good one day, because I already know of things that have happened that I wouldn't call good. But if I get into my grateful position in Christ and I understand that He knows the end from the beginning, then it has to be good. It has to go along with the big plan that I don't understand, because I don't even think Jesus thought that was good. He just knows that He's going to make it good. Because the big plan is for Him to gather His people. And the ones that get taken home are already in His arms. So I want to say this. For all of us that have lost loved ones, I am not minimizing the pain that it rips out of us to miss them. I understand. But if you step out of the natural, if we just put our feelings aside for 1 second and we think about them, oh my gosh, they're in the best place ever. They're better than good. They're whole. They're happy. They're joyous. They're free. They're even looking in on things that we're doing down here. But they're safe. I hope that brings healing to somebody. Because it's true. And as soon as you can give thanks, please give God praise. The wisdom of man says, if it feels good, then it must be good. The goodness from God is beneficial internally and spiritually as well. It will bless your insides as well as your outsides. Just because it feels good doesn't mean it is good. Amen? But just because it feels bad doesn't mean it ain't good either. You see, God corrects. God rebukes. God allows things to happen in our lives that hurt like a shot. But it's good. It's good. And if you've ever walked through something tough and come out the other side, because if you're walking through something right now, you may not understand fully what I'm saying, but you will. If you cling to Jesus, you cling to His Word, you keep your heart grateful, I promise you, you'll understand someday. Because God will bring you through and you'll be like, wow. Like, I'm still not okay with that, but I'm really stoked at what you did in me through that. Like, that will bring you peace. Like, that doesn't make that okay, but you're okay. Isn't that more important? Because we can't stop the past. That already happened. We can't change that. We can only change the right now and the future. Amen? And God has spoken a word over our lives that's very positive about that. We have to believe it. We have to hold on to it. Let me read James. How we doing? Ooh, I got 1 minute. Never mind. Okay, really quick. Just give me a couple more minutes, please, guys. Just give me. We cool? Amen. All right. This is the last one. And it's just a beautiful picture of Jesus and the appropriate way to be grateful. So in John, this is the feeding of the 5,000. John 6, 5 through 11. So Jesus, after raising his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? But he was saying this only to test him. For he himself knew what he intended to do. He's Jesus. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough for them, for each to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "Then there's a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? We don't have enough to feed them." Jesus said, "Have your people recline to eat." Now there was plenty of grass in that place. So the men reclined, about 5,000. So they only counted men back then. So there was women and children. So it was really more like 10,000. So about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were reclining, likewise also the fish, as much as they wanted. Now, Jesus is God. He could have said, "I'm Jesus, poof," and that 200 bucks turned into 2,000. "I'm Jesus, poof," he could have turned it into 200,000. 2 million, whatever. He could have. Jesus doesn't use the world system. This is what Jesus did. All I see that Jesus did was he gave thanks. He said, God, I thank you for the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish that we already had. He thanked God for what he already had. And he sanctified that. He sanctified what he already had. And he said, God, I thank you. I thank you because you provided 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. You did. And I thank you that you will take this, and I'm so grateful that we have this, but you'll take this as I sanctify this to you, and you will feed your people. He said, I know you'll take what I have, because I'm grateful for what I have. You will take what I have. I will consecrate that to you with myself, Lord, and you will multiply. You, God, will multiply. So I want you to take that home today. Whatever you have. The greatest offensive position that a Christian can be in is grateful to his Savior or her Savior. Grateful to our Savior. Focused. I'm in the Word. I pay attention. I'm crawling down the rabbit hole, but I'm in the Word more than that. Because why? When I crawl into that, when I have to look at what's going on, I'm hearing deceitful spirits. I'm hearing the doctrines of demons. And it affects me. Because the ears and the eyes go into our soul. We take it all in. Don't think porn ain't messing with you, fellas. Boom, boom. Because it is. Everything we see and we hear, it matters. It does. So listen. Remember. Give thanks for what you do have. Even if you just barely have anything, you got something. And you know what? You have salvation. The most important thing, the most wide open. See, I want you to understand that salvation isn't just a destination. Like I said, it is a living, breathing relationship with Christ that holds magnificent power when we get a hold of it and we're grateful for it. Oh my gosh. Come what may. I mean, when you're in the zone, it's like, come what may. I'm focused on you. I'm focused on your goodness. I'm focused on your blessings. Because in your presence is the fullness of joy. So I want you to take with you that. But before we leave, I want to make sure that everybody here knows for a fact that your heart's right with God and that your eternal destiny is in heaven with Him. If you're watching online, you too. If you don't know that you know that you know that you're saved and that you're going to heaven, I want to pray with you today. I want to make sure that's all taken care of so you ain't got to worry about that. You can just worry about getting to know the God who saved you. So without any further hesitation, with every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you've backslidden, you've done it before, but you ain't been living for Him or with Him, and you want to rededicate your heart today, I want you to raise your hand, and we'll pray. I see your hand. I see your hands. There's hands, yep, all over this church. Pray God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for your braveness. And I know the Lord's going to honor you. So pray this prayer after me. Father God in heaven, thank you for your Son, Jesus. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. Today, I turn from my old way of life, and I turn to you. So I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive to me. I ask you to break every chain, every shackle that would hinder me from walking with you. And I declare, today I'm saved. Today I'm changed. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I love you guys. Hallelujah. Go shine like you know who your Savior is. See you next week.